Well, I have multiple sclerosis, as you may have heard, Dan.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And today, we are moving forward as we talk about Botox for the bladder. Talk to me. Why are we talking about Botox in the bladder?
Well, I have multiple sclerosis, as you may have heard, Dan.
Seriously?
A time or two, yeah. I have multiple sclerosis, and one of the biggest problems that has plagued me over the 25 years since my diagnosis is bladder difficulties, whether that be urgency to go to the bathroom or frequency of going to the bathroom every hour or just inability to empty all the way. So I have taken a number of medications, like oral medications over the years. And when I did my fourth different medication, and it didn't work as well as I would have liked it to, my urologist said, "Hey, Jennifer, have you ever thought about Botox?" And that intrigued me.
That's the big thing in talking about Botox, because there's always this thought of being for wrinkles.
Well, and to be perfectly honest, when Botox came on the market, I was young and naive and obnoxious. And I thought, ew, who's going to put botulism in their face to solve wrinkles? That's so vain and that's so gross. And I was really against it. And here, you know, 25 years later, I'm like, ooh, Botox for my bladder. Sign me up. So it just, the medicine has been really helpful for me just to control my bladder, the spasms and those issues that I talked about. And it's been I used the medication for the first time in November of 2021. And then this is July of 2022. So 7 months later, and I'm getting another injection or another round, another treatment to give me another dose of Botox to see if that can control my bladder. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Did that answer your question?
I do think it's interesting, just in the sense that with multiple sclerosis, of all of the symptoms that are major, that are common for people living with the disease. I mean, we talk about fatigue and everything, but then we also talk about bladder issues and incontinence and everything. And so it is something that happens with multiple sclerosis. And when you first came back from the urologist and said urologist had suggested, recommended, inquired of you about considering whether or not to take Botox, I was just like, but isn't that what you wanted, was Botox? But it's just like, I had never heard about using Botox for the bladder. I mean, we've heard about with like Ditropan and other kinds of oral medications to help control frequencies and urgencies and stuff with the bladder. And then all of a sudden it was Botox. I mean, what was your thoughts when your urologist said, Jennifer, I think Botox would be good for you?
To be honest, I compared it to my disease modifying therapy. For the first 15, good heavens, I'm old. But for the first 15, 18 years, I treated my multiple sclerosis with the daily injection. And I was very happy with that. But as my disease progressed and more medication came on the market, my neurologist talked to me about using an infusion therapy so that I would go in, instead of taking a shot every single day, I would go in every 6 months to the medical center and get infused with a disease modifying therapy. And I thought, wow, everyday shot or every 6 months. I'm like, that's a no-brainer.
Sign me up.
Sign me up, exactly. And that's kind of how Botox was. As I indicated earlier, I was taking daily oral medications, and they weren't all that successful. So when my urologist said, I can give you Botox and you'll only have to do it every 6 months with the hope that maybe you'll be a really successful candidate and you could go as far as 8-9 months up to a year, I was like, sign me up. And, you know, certainly I talked to you before I did it, but when I put it in that comparison with the MS medication, you understood what I was saying. So we went full guns blazing, and we had the treatment 7 months ago.
Had you ever heard about the potential of using Botox for your bladder? I mean, in all the literature you've read, all the things you've seen online and everything about bladder issues and multiple sclerosis, how prevalent was this notion, this thought of Botox?
Okay, I'm going to be really, I want to say like vulnerable and honest here.
Okay.
I'm kind of a baby when it comes to my urinary health. And as, you know, as I mentioned, I did lots of different oral medications, but I have never had to catheterize myself. That is my biggest fear. And when my urologist, when we were on that last oral drug, and it wasn't working as well, all I was afraid of, she would say, oh, Jennifer, it's time to start catheterizing. And if you're out in the MS community listening and you're like, oh, grow up, stop being a baby, it's not that big of a deal, forgive me. That's just for me. It's been like a little hang up. I have a lot of weakness and dexterity problems. And I already ask you, Dan, for so much help day to day with my everyday existence that I didn't want you to have to catheterize me or help me with that. My urologist said this could be an option to treat your, you know, just your overall bladder well-being. Again, it was like, ding, 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 sign me up.
And there are people in that catheterization is a very viable option. But in your case, with the dexterity issues, you can't do it for yourself. And so have your husband, your loving caregiver, do this. But that's another strike against you, is when said husband and loving caregiver also has multiple sclerosis with major dexterity issues and has barely any feeling in his fingers. I got no business trying to administer a catheter to help you.
And I think that is, again, when the option of Botox came up, that's why we were both so encouraged and excited about it. But I have blinders on. It would be fair to say that when it came to urinary issues, I mean, I just did this for the first time 7 months ago, but up until that point, I was just, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And then I have a really incredible urologist who just sat me down and she reached her hand over. I will never forget. She put her hand on my knee and she said, this will be good for you. And I really trust her, which is so important if you're in the MS community to have doctors that you can count on. And I felt comfortable. You know, she's been my doctor for a while. And you also were there and you felt the same way. You thought she was completely sincere and that this was a viable option for us.
Going into this then, reality, this is fresh because this just happened yesterday morning for the recording. I mean, so going into this for the second time, were you nervous about going in for another Botox treatment? If so, why? If not, why not?
It's funny. I was very nervous. I didn't sleep well.
Why?
Because the first time it went so smoothly and I didn't have problems. And I don't want to say I'm a pessimist or I come at it like, well, if that was so good, this certainly this next time's not going to be that good. But I was kind of coming into it from that viewpoint. And I thought, waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so I was a little nervous. And I am, as I mentioned, in my 40s. And this is only the second time I've ever been under anesthesia. So I was a little nervous about that. And then they, you know, it doesn't help when you're doing your pre-admission forms and they're asking you all these questions and putting all this fear in you, and it's not knocking on the pre-admission forms. They need to tell you the risks. But somebody like me that runs a little freaked out to begin with, I was like, you know, I was nervous. So then you have to worry about the anesthetic and or the anesthesia, excuse me, the anesthesia, and then just will it go smoothly and will the transfers at the surgery center work and, you know, just all the little things.
I guess then the question I have is, looking at this, you went in yesterday morning, was your second Botox treatment. And so then 7 months removed from your first one, I guess, did you have the kind of results with your first round of Botox to the point that you decided, yes, hit me again?
I did have those kind of results. And
when you did this, what were you looking for? I mean, I guess I'm asking you just because hopefully it'll help educate other people out there from the MS community and beyond, just in terms of considering whether or not to do Botox.
I was looking for less accidents. I mean, we're all friends here, let's be honest. I'm in a wheelchair, so I have to stand up. Thank God, Dan, you're there to transfer me, to get me to stand up, and then I pivot to the toilet. And I was just finding that I was having more small leaks when I would stand up, and that's just really annoying. And I'm sure those of you out there who get it. And I was just like, I need that to stop. And I'm taking this medicine, these different oral treatments, and nothing is working. So when my urologist mentioned Botox, I thought, if that could give me back that confidence, and then where I wasn't, I mean, I was hopeful that I would be able to go couple, 2-3 hours without having to use the bathroom. So you and I could take a road trip, even though we just got done with the pandemic, but we're not done. But you know what I mean? I just thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could get in the car and go for 2 hours and I wouldn't have to stop and use the bathroom. So those were my hopes.
And obviously came through and lived up to all the expectations in terms of that, because it is, it's just talking about the length of time in between going to the bathroom. And it's just like, I don't know how many people out there, when you need to go to the bathroom and you finally get there, would you be comfortable? Could you hold it long enough to sit there and then have somebody help you transfer and squeeze you to stand up? I mean, there's a lot riding on that. And so you have that, and obviously you went through it once. I mean, Are you still as optimistic this time, or is there something in your head thinking, oh, that was beginner's luck and maybe I won't have as much success this time through?
No, I'm still hopeful and positive that I will have as much good success as I did 7 months ago. But just to backtrack, just to get on my soapbox for a second.
Okay, you want me to spot you as you get up on
You mentioned something about, like, imagine if you have to go to the bathroom. Well, I can't just go to the bathroom, any bathroom.
Right.
You know, if you're in a store that's an older store that may have public restrooms, they may not be handicap accessible, or they don't have a big enough stall to get me and my caregiver and my wheelchair in it, or they don't have grab bars. So that's one of those things.
Or they don't have family restrooms or a thing where I can go in and help you. I mean, more often than not, you're going to have a men's room, a women's room, then that puts the pressure on me to be able to sneak into the bathroom, or you to ask somebody for permission there, or you're saying, are you okay if my husband comes in and helps me?
Thus slowing.
Delaying, yes.
Yeah, delaying it that much. So if you're listening and you're loving our podcast, which we hope you do, and you have a lot of power, make a pitch for handicap accessible family restrooms at every rest stop.
Every restaurant. I mean,
yeah, that's true. And so, but okay, I'm getting down. Help me down.
Okay, I got you.
Help me down from my soapbox.
There you go.
But anywho, I think I'm very hopeful that I'm going to have continued success with my Botox treatment. It's that little piece of independence or normalcy that I'm really thankful to have.
I will say, just to encourage everybody out there to be sure to check out our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, because we do have a photo essay giving a behind the scenes look at things that go into the prep and getting ready to do the Botox. And that is, again, acoupletakesonms.com. So I will ask then, in your opinion, Jennifer, Botox, game changer in the MS community?
It is a game changer for me.
Well
but,
said.
But also, you know, thank you for saying well said. To anybody out there listening, if you're in the MS community, you know how none of us are alike. Just because something works for me, it may not work for you. Disease-modifying therapies, Botox, exercise, diet. Dang it, we can't get a disease that we can all agree on. You know, all the different treatments, but it is a game changer for me. I do have to go into surgical center and get transferred out of my wheelchair and go under anesthesia to have this treatment. I imagine if you're more able-bodied, you may be able to do it in an outpatient clinic. Something to look into. Don't just judge it on my experience. I mean, granted, I've had really good experience with that. But do your legwork. See if you know anybody else who's willing to share their story. But yeah, I mean, if you're struggling, do something about it. Like, that's one piece that there are a number of treatments, and Botox being one of them, to help with incontinence and frequency. So,
well, I think that you made a great point that yes, it's a game changer for you, and it doesn't affect everybody the same. It's kind of like when there are new disease modifying therapies that come out onto the market, am I going to take them? Probably not. However, I'm so encouraged just because it's like a new tool, a new piece, a weapon in the arsenal of everybody in the MS world to at least find ways to improve life and control the disease. And so even if the Botox isn't for you, I mean, check into it. It gives you something to think about, to talk about with your urologist, because at least it's something else that is there to help in the face. So then I will ask you, Jennifer, what would you say if a person, they said, should I do Botox?
I would look into it. I would recommend it. It's a big decision, but it's something, if you're uncomfortable and unhappy with your urinary status, I would look into it. But I also, you know, if you haven't spoken with a urologist, I would start there. And there's a number of medications on the market besides Botox. And, you know, there's no reason to suffer with that. And so, yeah, it was a good day. I'm tired. I imagine you are too,
I'm
Dan.
I'm exhausted. Well, because we had to get up at like 4:45 to be at the infusion center, hospital, medical
like the
center,
hospital,
health park,
surgery center,
surgery center. You know, I had to be there at 6:30, but everything said and done, you with your all the pre-procedure and getting the anesthetic and blah, 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 it was over and done with, and we were back home, and I got to work
by 9 o'clock.
I mean, so just within that time, I mean, that's, so when you talk about outpatient, I mean, really it was, but I mean, it's just, it's a nice thing. It's just like the necessary precautions, and it is a big deal, but it's something that's very manageable. And so that's, I mean, it's encouraging. And as a caregiver, I saw how it benefited. I just saw how it helped. And it's kind of one of those things where you just wonder why did it take so long. But I mean, it's a big decision. And I mean, you did research, and you had to be comfortable with it. And I think that's what's something when we're living with MS and all the procedures and medicines and things, is like you have to be comfortable with making that decision. So that's a moral of my story as a caregiver.
And that means a lot, you know, as a person living with MS. And that's why it's so important that we go to the doctor, we go to our neurologist or urologist with our spouse or our friend or our family member, because it's nice to have another set of eyes and ears. And so for you, Dan, to say that to me, that you could tell the difference.
Totally.
With my Botox, that's like a double vote of confidence. So again, I encourage you, if you're listening and this topic is resonating with you, speak to a urologist or check out our blog. And if you have questions, if you've been listening to this show for a little while, you know I'm pretty open about everything. So just send me a message or send Dan a message. Because if you're a spouse or a caregiver and you want the other side of it, Dan's a pretty honest guy.
Yeah, well, but thanks for being so open and honest about this. I mean, because of you, I don't know if you said in this episode or earlier, just in terms of like vulnerable and just like, because this is something, you know, there's some sensitivity to it, but it's also just getting the information out there, because this is nothing, like you say, these are things that we can't control. So, and it's something that everybody lives with. So,
and we all deserve the dignity and the privacy and just the confidence. And I think that that's really what Botox has done for me, has helped me with my confidence. And it was a game changer for me. So thank you, Dan.
Well, thanks for sharing that. We should probably turn our heads or our minds to the moments of joy. I mean, as we wrap up this episode, I think obviously every time we talk about moments of joy, and then it's almost 10 minutes too late, but just that we are flying solo today, that our podcast producer, Ryan, is not with us, but we'll just chalk this up to market. So the next time he is with us, he gets an extra moment of joy. And so, Jennifer, do you have a moment of joy? Or is this something that...
On top of Botox, that was a pretty big moment of joy for me.
So...
But yes, I do have a moment of joy.
All right.
My dad celebrated his 80th birthday. I hope he doesn't mind me saying that. But Dan, we were able to have like the best celebration. My whole family was at our house, and aunt, uncle, brother, mom, husband, and it was just really fun. And of course, the birthday boy, my dad himself. So this year is a pretty big year, because my loving husband is also going to celebrate a pretty monumental birthday. So I think my moment of joy was just being able to celebrate my dad's birthday with my family and have some really yummy cake too.
So good.
How about you, Dan? What's your moment of joy?
And truly, my moment of joy happened today, and I knew it was sitting in the refrigerator, and I didn't realize it, but when we cracked open the 2-liter bottle of orange pop.
Hi.
I just like, that was something, just background on that. I mean, when Jennifer and I were dating, that was our thing, and we'd play cards and we would have pretzels and orange pop. And, you know, and that was just, that was classic, and that was fun, and that was our thing. And I don't know why we just don't drink a lot of pop. When we were at the store the other day, you brought home a 2-liter orange pop, and I said, oh, that sounds fun. Didn't realize how fun it was going to be, and that was just, it was refreshing. It was just almost like brings back memories, even though we're living in the moment. It's just like that was just fun because it takes you back to like a simpler time.
To a simpler time, a better time. Not that this time is bad, but just a little more carefree time. How about that? And we played cards and the world was pretty carefree. I think that's the best
way. Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was carefree because I love being married to you, don't get me wrong. But it's just like we drank orange pop, ate pretzels, and played cards. Today we had orange pop. I hurried through so I could get back to work. So this is just different.
It's different, but it was delicious.
It really was. So, well, thank you again, Jennifer, for being honest and just letting people into, you know, insights into the potential or just consideration of another method, another treatment that's out there for multiple sclerosis related symptom. I'm just happy that it's working so well for you.
Well, thank you. And Ryan, we look forward to sitting down with you for our next podcast. And it's your voice is missed, but we will be together soon. And thank you, Dan, for going on this journey with me today.
Oh, absolutely. And thank you all for tuning in and listening. Let us know what your moments of joy are. And don't forget to review us and share our podcast with others so people can hear more from A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman. I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me. Ryan, the producer, is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.